If you're just now showing up for this afternoon's lectureship, let me welcome you and let you know that we're happy that you have come our way and that you're spending these times of spending some time singing with us, as well as listening to a lesson that Hiawatha is going to bring to us in a little bit. So we'll begin with a couple of songs, and Jared's going to lead us in. So Jared.
For what golden streets are what the golden streets, we're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful.
Thank you so much, Jared. Outstanding job leading us in singing. Good afternoon, everyone. Glad to see that you are all here. I'm really excited about Hiawatha Jones. He is our speaker for this period. I know he's going to say when he gets up here that I gave him the 1:30 keynote, which is supposed to always be the hardest keynote, but it's not the hardest keynote. We give it to the person that we think is the most talented and that can keep everybody awake and everybody engaged. And so anyway, we're excited about Hiawatha. We love this man so much. I have in my notes, it says, Hiawatha Jones is an impressive young man. But he's not a young man anymore. He's got over the years. I think I've been here around 23 years, and I think that we were supporting Hiawatha and Bayan Bonitas as missionaries down in Guatemala for probably 5 years before that, or maybe 4 years before that. And so we've had a long-term relationship with Hiawatha, and we have grown to love him. He served 7 years in the Air Force. He has completed studies at Heritage University, at Bear Valley Bible Institute, that's in Denver, as well as Emeridge and Fried Hardeman Universities. He's presently a full-time missionary in Guatemala. He primarily works with the Linda Vista congregation, spends a lot of time with the Latin American Theological Institute. He has numerous gospel meetings and lectureships, youth forums. He's just well sought after, and it's because he loves God and loves his word, and always does a wonderful job when he comes and speaks to us. This afternoon, Hiawatha, Clint Davison is your dedicated reader for you. So when you need a reader, that's the guy you go to. Okay. Welcome, brother.
The story goes like this. There was a man, and he was either an unfaithful Christian, or he was an atheist. Either way it goes in the story, he's in trouble. But he's in the forest, and he's run up on a mother bear and two cubs. And he wants to get a picture. He wants to get a picture. So don't judge the man, okay? You've done dumb things too, okay? Don't judge the man yet. But he wanted to get a picture. And he knew he needed to be quiet, because we all know the story of what happens when the mother bear is trying to protect the baby bears and all the stuff like that. So he knew as he got closer and closer, he needed to be quiet. But then all of a sudden he realized the mother bear had already seen him. So he takes off running, and guess who else takes off running? Yeah, again, don't judge the man. You've done dumb things too before, okay? But he runs, and then all of a sudden he trips and falls. And then he looks up, and guess what's hovering over him? Yeah, the bear. This man, I'm not for sure, as I said earlier, I'm not for sure if he's an unfaithful Christian or an atheist. It's a story, okay? So, yeah, that's what it is, a story, okay? So he yells out, God! God, and what did he say? He said, have. Yeah, he said, have. And then all of a sudden, there's this surreal relation, this conversation between him and God. And God says, what? And the man says, wait, said, I know I've been wrong. I know I haven't been right. I know I haven't lived right. He said, and so I know it's an audacity for me to come before you and ask you for anything. He says, so I'm not asking anything from me. He said, but do me a favor. Make the bear a Christian. That's all I'm asking. Make the bear a Christian. And it's all of a sudden, there was a peace came over him because he looked up and this bear who was like this is now does this number right in front of the man. And the bear says, Father, thank you for the meal that I am about to partake of. Why did I tell you that story? Make whatever you want of it. Why did I tell you that story? And the reason is because I've got the 1:30 lesson. And you people have gone out here and gotten as close to gluttony as you can. And you've come back here and I am supposed to raise the dead from life. And I don't care what you say, if you say it's because I'm good, it's because you don't like me. And I've known it for years. And I feel better now, I'm getting off my chest. I've got to come in here and wake you up. Like Marshall Keeble said, he was asked one time, said, why do you always tell like a little joke or something like that before you preach? And he says, because I look at my audience and I see them as a bunch of fried fish. And he said, you know what you got to do? He said, you got to thaw them out before you can fry them. I'm not going to fry you this afternoon, but we're going to talk about a very important subject. We're going to talk about God's mercy. Say that, church. God's mercy. Church, you know, we're living in a society right now to where it's completely opposite of mercy. Completely opposite. And in fact, we're in a culture right now to where we even have another culture inside of it that we talk about all the time. And what do we call it? It's called what? Anybody know what it is? Once I say it, you're going to know exactly what I'm talking about. It's called, and I'm going to say the first word and you say the second word. It's called cancel culture. We live it every day. Church, it's just the opposite of mercy. You make one mistake, you don't agree with me, you say something wrong, I don't care what you did yesterday, I don't care what you did last week, make that one mistake, say that wrong thing, disagree with me on one subject, and we'll do what? We'll cancel you. And church, here's the sad thing. Some of us have gotten involved in that. And then we get mad at each other when others don't get involved in it. I don't know how much... Oh, wait. I'm not supposed to be yelling yet. Okay, I'm not. I'm not upset, church. I'm not upset. Okay, look at me. I don't know how much I've heard... As I'm traveling, you know, oh no, I'm not going to go there, and you can't either. They're doing this. They're saying this. Church. We need to stop and think. We need to stop and think. We don't need to be a part of something that's opposite of what God is a part of. Cancel culture. No mercy at all. God's mercy. In the midst of all of this that's going on, aren't you glad that we have a God that's not out there to cancel us? Aren't you glad that you have a God and I have a God that's saying, wait. I'm not there to cancel you. I'm here to save you. I'm not out here to cancel you, high. I'm here to give you my mercy. Aren't you glad we have a God like that? He's not like what we're used to. Richard, find for me. Clint, I'm coming to you wherever you are. Psalm 145, verses 8 and 9. What does the text say about our God? Somebody asked us, and Brother Jones, why do you ask other people to read? Can't you read? Brother Richard's already set you good. Can't you at least read? Okay, but I want you to know that I'm not making this stuff up. Okay? Psalm 145, verse 8 and 9. What's the text say, Brother Richard? What's the text say?
The Lord is gracious.
The Lord is gracious and what?
Merciful.
And merciful. Keep reading.
Slow to anger
and what else?
Great and loving kindness.
And keep reading, Brother Richard.
The Lord is good to all.
Wait. The Lord is good to all. Sometimes we have a problem with that. What about the drug addict? What about? Back up. What does that verse say? What does it say, Brother Richard?
The Lord is good to all.
The Lord is good to all. Keep reading.
And his mercy.
Wait. And his mercy what?
Are over all his works.
His mercy is over all of his works. Church, don't ever forget that. Don't ever forget that. God is merciful to all. Now, I'm not saying, and don't you run out of here repeating me because I'm going to say you told an untruth. I'm not saying God is going to save everybody because he's not. But I'm saying what the Bible says, and the Bible says God is merciful to all. Church, that means the drug addicts, that means all the people that's ruining the United States of America, that means people in Guatemala right now. God's merciful to them. They've got air to breathe, a sun that rises. You know why? Because we serve a God who's not out to cancel us. We serve a God who's not out to cancel his creation. We serve a God who stands ready to show everybody his mercy. You don't thank God for anything else today. Thank God that he has mercy. And he shows that mercy. The drug addict, people who's doing all of the sins to ruin everything that they touch. The person with the earring, the person with the tattoo, the person that you, me. But Brother High, what's mercy? What's mercy? Well, I have just a few minutes, okay? He's locked me in between now and another speaker. So I have to be finished at a certain time. I can't go all the time I want to go, okay? Because I'm locked in right now. So I'm going to try to cover what I need to cover in the time that I have. Richard, you can put that paper down, okay? I'm going to stick to my time, but we're going to talk about three things real quick, and then I'm going to be done. Okay, three things. What's mercy? Why is it important that we say something about it? And then I'm just going to close by just making a couple of three or four, or 20 or 30 suggestions. Just suggestions of what I can do and what you can do. How can we better do this mercy thing? Are you with me? Okay. What's mercy? What's mercy? Well, church, here's the bottom line. Mercy is not getting what we deserve. Not getting what we deserve. We can argue all day over who gets it and who don't get it, but any of you been in a situation? No. Any of you not been in that situation? We can, because you know what? We live in a blame society right now. You know, we blame everybody. Oh, you know why? Why didn't you get the grade? Well, it's that teacher. No, it's because you didn't study. Why do you do this? Well, it's because we're just good people. Church, we can get so good that we think we don't need mercy. Matthew chapter 5, Jesus dealt with some people like that. I mean, these people, no. They didn't break the Big Ten. No. I mean, you know, have you slept with another woman? Nope, we ain't done that. If you've lusted after a woman, you've committed adultery in your heart. Oops. Well, have you murdered anybody? Nope, we're not guilty of that. How many of you are guilty of murdering anybody? Raise your hand. Don't raise your hand, because you'll stop my sermon, and then I'll have to come in, take you out, and don't raise your hand. Don't admit it. You've gone this long without admitting it. Keep living that way, okay? But no, we're not guilty of murder. We don't need mercy when it comes to that. And then he says, have you hated your brother? Have you thought bad of your brother? Oh, how easy it is. Church, listen. Mercy. Mercy's not, it's just not getting what we deserve. And we can make all kind of excuses of whether or not and who's going to receive it and who needs it. Let's skip all that for just a moment. Is that okay if we skip all that? Because we're going to skip it all, and I'm going to take you to the end. We're all familiar with the account in Matthew chapter 25. It's at the end. You're standing before God, church. And here's the choice. Heaven or hell. Heaven or hell. Raise your hand Raise your hand if you deserve heaven. Raise your hand if you deserve heaven. Then we just solved the problem. You need mercy. I need mercy. You know why? Because one of these days, I don't care how I slide through everything else, one of these days, I'm standing at the judgment. And church, I don't care how much good I've done. I don't care how many people I've treated right. I don't care if I've grown to love Richard. I don't care. I do love you, brother. I don't care. There's nothing we can do. We can put all of the good together in this room, and none of us deserve heaven. If we get what's coming to us, we're going to hell. So you know what? You know what? That means the definition of mercy is not getting what we deserve. And here's a fact. We need mercy. We know what it is. We know we need it. But Brother High, why is it so important that we really sit down and say something about mercy? Why is that so? Well, church, because mercy humbles us. Mercy humbles us. Church, we live in a society right now where the one thing, one of the main things that's missing out there is humility. There's none of it. There's none of it. But mercy, when we truly understand we need mercy, it humbles us. You know what? Because we've got to bring ourselves down to a point to where we're ready to beg. Absolutely. We're ready to beg. Church, it's hard to beg with a shirt and tie on. It's hard to beg when we come together and when we worship God all the time. It's hard to realize we need mercy. We're no different than them out there when it comes to our need for God's mercy. But we need to say something about it because, church, we've got to humble ourselves. It makes us realize who we are. Byron, find for me Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, we read here of a man that expresses sometimes how we live. Sad, but true. Luke chapter 18, beginning with verse 9, what does the text say?
Also, he spoke this parable.
And also, Jesus spoke a parable, and what did he say?
Who trusted in themselves.
There are people who trusted themselves, and keep reading.
That they were righteous.
They were righteous.
And despised others.
And despise others. Keep reading.
Two men went up to the temple.
Two men went up and did what?
Went up to the temple to pray.
They went up to the temple to pray. And what happened?
One a Pharisee.
One a Pharisee.
And the other a tax collector.
The other one a tax gatherer. Now listen to this now.
The Pharisee.
Listen to this, church. Listen to this.
The Pharisee stood.
Wait, Byron. Wait. I got a few more minutes. listen to this, church. We don't want to catch ourselves in a situation where we remind God of who we are. Because anytime we decide to remind God of who we are, we're telling Him we don't need His mercy. Because I've done this, I've done this, I've said this, I've gone there, I've acted this way. Anytime we do that, anytime. What does the text say? Keep reading.
The Pharisee stood.
The Pharisee and she stood and did what, Brother Byron?
And prayed thus.
And what did he say?
Prayed thus with himself.
Oh, wait. He's talking to himself. How silly of him. Keep reading.
God. I thank you.
Oh, I thank you.
That I am not like the other men.
I'm not like all these people here in the Mid-Meridian. Keep reading.
Extortioners.
Oh, they're extortioners.
Unjust. Adulterers.
I go to lectureships. Look at me. Keep reading.
Or even as this tax collector.
Or even as this man right here. We're not like him. Keep reading.
I fast twice a week.
Oh, Lord, I fast. Keep reading.
I give tithes of all that I possess.
Every first day of the week, I put in a contribution. And sometimes I stretch my offering so big so everybody can see what I'm doing for you, God. Oh, yeah. I'm everything you need. I'm the reason God made Oklahoma. I don't know where that came from. It's not in my notes anywhere. We need God's mercy. And anytime we have the gall to stop and remind God of everything we've done and who we are and how much we give, we're looking God in the face. We're shooting God the bird and we're saying, we don't need you. Mercy humbles us. Church, I'm not just yelling at you. I'm yelling at me too. Okay? I'm having a problem with some of this. Keep reading.
And the tax collector. Standing afar off,
doing what?
Would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven.
But keep reading.
But he beat his breast,
and what did he say?
Saying, God.
He didn't remind God of nothing. What did he say?
God, be merciful.
He didn't remind God of what he's done. What did he say?
Be merciful to me, a sinner.
Church, I'm not talking to everybody out there. I'm talking to us here, okay? Is that all right? I'm talking to us here. I'm talking to me. I'm talking to you. I'm talking to us. Forget about them for a moment. I'll go yell at them later. Say this, church. Lord, be merciful to me. A sinner. Church, mercy humbles us. Mercy humbles us. We're not gonna read the account, but in Matthew, there's Matthew chapter 18, we all know the story of the unforgiven servant. You remember that story? We all know that story. But then there was a man that had this humongous debt. Okay, and all of a sudden, this man had this debt, and he had to come to a point in his life to where he realized he couldn't do a thing. He couldn't do anything. There had to come a point to where what they say, you have to reach what? Rock what? Rock bottom. He had to come to a point to where he had to go to the master, and where he had to say, Master, I can't pay the debt. I can't pay it. We all know what the master did. What did the master do? The master forgave him. Forgave him of the debt. But you know what? The man had to humble himself. He had to reach rock bottom before he realized he's in trouble. Church, I hope we've all reached rock bottom. Yeah. I hope we're there. To where we realize there's nothing we can do. I'm just reminded so much of Peter's words when Peter said, Lord, where else can we go? Where else can we go? Mercy causes us to act like this man who said, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. That's one of the many reasons it's important that we talk about and that we say something about God's mercy. And that we realize, church, God's special mercy, God's saving mercy. Been extended. And you know, what makes us different from them out there is we've accepted it. We've accepted it. We're no better than them out there, but we're saved. We're saved. And we're definitely no better than them if we get so saved that we don't want to go out there and save them. Mercy. I see the clock back there. Gonna close with just one other point and then a couple of points to follow that. And then I'm done. Church, do you need God's mercy? Church, do you need God's mercy? I do. Then how can we do this mercy thing? How can we, some of us need to just do it. Some of us are doing it. And then if you're doing it, how can we do it better? Can I share with you just a couple of ideas? Do you mind? You might as well not. How can we do it? What can we do? Well, I'm not going to call just one more time. I'm done with you. Literally. No, just kidding. Matthew chapter 5. How can we do this mercy thing better? Matthew chapter 5, verse 48. What does the text say?
Therefore, you who are perfect.
Wait. You who are.
To be perfect.
Start, what does the text say? One more time, Brother Richard.
Therefore. You are to be perfect.
You are to be perfect. Now, church. Don't get all alarmed. Perfect isn't. Perfect. Perfect is usable. Did you have that clock go off back there? Perfect. He says, perfect is not that you're not going to make mistakes, you're not going to make any, no, but you're usable for God, okay? Keep reading. What's the text say?
As your heavenly Father is perfect.
Let's start at the beginning. Read it again. What's the text say?
Therefore. You are to be perfect.
You are to be perfect. Keep reading.
As your heavenly Father is perfect.
Brother High, how can we do this perfect thing? How can we do this mercy thing a little bit better? How can I? You could just remember this. Your goal, my goal in life is to be like God.
Amen.
Is to be like God. That's your number one goal. That should be our number one goal every day when we wake up. I just want to be like my God. Psalm chapter 103. And I think it's verse 8 and following. If it's not there, read the whole psalm. You're going to find it. Okay? God is full of mercy. Some version says he's full of mercy. Some say he's merciful. Church, I'm not saying... Please don't take me that I'm saying it's going to be easy. It's not. The Christian life has never meant to be easy. But if I want to practice more mercy, then just make up my mind. I want to be like God. I want to be like God. You know what? God shows mercy to all. I've told you, I'm talking to me. I'm talking to myself. I'm working on this one. Be like God. Be like God. Just make up my mind. Quit talking about it. But make up my mind, I want to be like God. Here's another thing to try. Try this. Change your way of looking at others. You know, sometimes we look at others like, oh no, here he comes again. Oh no, here he comes again. You know what? You know what? Jesus saw this whole mob of us. And the Bible says he looked at them. And he had compassion. Yeah. Change. You know what? When people need your mercy, change your way. Let's change our way of how we look at them. You know what? They need mercy, and they need mercy, and my God gives mercy. Change the way you look at them, and at the same time, let's change the way we look at ourselves. That's going to help. Yeah. Remember we talked about earlier, mercy brings about humility. The story we talked about earlier of where the man went before the rich man and the unjust servant, and he got it right. He looked at himself right, and he went and said, I need your mercy. He got mercy, but he got the second part wrong. Yeah. We know the rest of the story. What did he do? He went, and the gall of him to act like us. The gall of that man to act like us sometimes. He went and grabbed the other man by the throat and said, pay me what you owe. Oh, how can we do this thing? Change the way we look at others. Change the way we look at ourselves. How can we do this mercy thing is remember this. Matthew chapter 5, verse 7 and following says, blessed are the, what church? What church? Blessed are the who church? Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Okay. Say this with me, church. Blessed are the merciful. That means you're given mercy. Say this with the church, for they will receive mercy. You're not going to get it if you don't show it. You know what? It's one of those things of where it's mercy works like this. It works this way and this way. Do that with me, church, okay? Yeah. Do that with me. Do that with me. Everybody go like this. Here's how mercy works. Yeah, yeah. You're gonna get rid of some of this lunch you had earlier. Here's how mercy works. You know, this is what vertical they call it. This is vertical, right? Okay. It's vertical. Let's go. Come on, vertical. You know what? That means God. It's coming from God. It's coming from God. It's like electricity. It's got to come in. Okay. And once it's in, church, it can't stay in. It can't stay in. It goes like this. Do it. I said do it, okay? Do it. Here we go. Mercy. Blessed are the merciful. Okay, mercy comes down, church, from God. And mercy goes out to others. You got to move somebody, don't you? You got to touch somebody, don't you? Yeah, we don't like doing that, do we? But you know what mercy does? It humbles us. It comes down. It goes out. I'm into the break time, and I know, but I'm done. I'm almost done. Okay. Just a chorus of a song, and this is the closing point. The closing point. I don't know if you remember this song. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days, all the days of my life. You know what that song implies? That song implies that my days are coming to an end. You know what that song implies then? We need to think about this. Think seriously about this. So is God's mercy. So is God's mercy. Luke chapter 16. We're all familiar with that story. We're all familiar with the rich man who died. And here's what. He lifted his eyes in hell and he said this. Father Abraham, have mercy. Mercy could not be extended. If you haven't taken advantage of God's mercy, do it now. Because the day is coming when mercy cannot be extended. But today, church, thank God for his mercy. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Surely goodness and mercy from God Almighty shall follow me all the days of my life. Thank God for his mercy.
Anyway, it was good. All right. Listen, let's take a break here. You have about 9 minutes now. So take a few deep breaths. We'll be right back together with one another. You're dismissed.